I'm Jeremy Shea with KTOO with this look back at Juneau's biggest stories of 2019. A federal judge ruled in a years-long cruise industry lawsuit, potentially hamstringing how the city and borough of Juneau manages summer crowds. The judge said the city could continue collecting its per-passenger taxes from the cruise ships and that it must be spent on things that benefit the ships directly. In the past, the city has spent about a third of the money on things that don't. As the year began, the city and industry were poised to keep fighting. And then...
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, resolution 2852 is passed.
They settled. That was the Juneau Assembly in March, okaying the settlement, which basically lets the city keep spending the taxes as it has, but with input from the industry. City Manager Rory Watt summed up the experience.
Sometimes you have to experience litigation to learn that litigation is not a good way to solve public policy issues.
Meanwhile, the industry continues to grow. Signs of the industry's impact included record-breaking passenger counts, panel discussions, a new mayor's task force on the industry, and increased air quality monitoring. But what really punctuated the situation was the auction of a small waterfront parcel that's been mostly vacant for years. City officials thought they had an aggressive offer, so when the city manager found out they'd been outbid by nearly 500%.
I think it's fair to say that that's a fairly shocking bid.
It came from Norwegian Cruise Line's parent company and intends to build another big cruise ship berth there, Juneau's fifth. KTOO also put together Cruise Town, a deep dive podcast about Juneau and its relationship with the cruise industry. Climate change, still a thing. Juneau had another year of extraordinary weather. While Juneau wasn't directly burned by the state's busy wildfire season, the smoke made its way here. One city official likened our air quality to Beijing's. Summer pedicab driver Theo Hauk felt it.
Tightness in my chest and wheezing, sort of just a feeling like I couldn't breathe. Almost, I would, you know, walk up the stairs and have to stop halfway up to catch my breath.
The city declared an air emergency. Local drought conditions contributed to calls for water conservation, a ban on personal fireworks, and later, a red flag burn ban. Too hot and too dry became too wet too suddenly.
A bunch of people are banging on my door at 3 in the morning, and I get up and I answer. It's about 3 or 4 city workers that are like, you need to leave. We're evacuating the neighborhood.
Sean Blumenschein lives in Douglas. Heavy rains eroded away a piece of John Street near his house. And rain-related landslides took out pieces of a newly rebuilt flume trail. The relatively new phenomena of Mendenhall Lake and river flooding from glacial dam releases also happened again. Locals are adapting. The Central Council of the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska is working on a climate change plan. Eagle Crest Ski Area is looking into more summer activities after several bad winters for snow sports. Alaskans from the road system took two big swings at relocating an entire branch of the state government out of the capital city. Three residents from Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Soldotna sponsored an effort to ask voters in 2020 to force the Alaska legislature to meet in Anchorage. Wayne Jensen chairs the Alaska Committee. It's a nonprofit that works on keeping Juneau the capital.
When you move the meetings of the legislature, that's moving the legislative session, and that's what happens in the capital. And so, you know, those two all go together. So if you move the legislature and you move the session, you've moved the capital.
The initiative needs more than 28,000 qualified signatures by April 21st, 2020, to get on the statewide ballot. State officials don't have good estimates of what the move would cost. Governor Mike Dunleavy took the other big swing, calling a special session of the Alaska legislature in Wasilla.
So people are asking why here in the Mat-Su, because the Mat-Su is centrally located. Within 5 hours of driving, you have about 500,000 plus people that can drive to the Mat-Su.
The call geographically divided what was already a politically divided legislature. About a third of lawmakers sided with the governor and met in Wasilla. The others met in defiance in Juneau. Attorney General Kevin Clarkson said the governor could get state troopers to round up lawmakers and deliver them to Wasilla, but eventually the governor yielded to lawmakers in Juneau. Years of tight state budgets during Governor Bill Walker's administration gave way to bold proposals from the new Dunleavy administration to seize municipal property taxes, pay out full permanent fund dividends plus back pay, and deeply cut state budgets. The Juneau Legislative Delegation and Juneau Assembly opposed the governor's budget, and later his line item budget vetoes to cut back much of what lawmakers restored. Juneau Democratic Representative Sarah Hannon.
Well, those vetoes are as bad as we thought they could be. You know, I think many of them are bringing us back to the governor's budget of February, and I think are devastating for the economy of Alaska.
Budget protests and rallies sprang up in Juneau.
Override!
Legislative leaders needed a three-quarter supermajority to override the governor's vetoes. They couldn't get it. So the University of Alaska Southeast is laying off staff. The local property tax rate could have fallen, but won't. Onboard cruise ship inspectors got the axe. Most of the ferry fleet is out of service. Job numbers are down in Southeast Alaska. And nursing homes like Wildflower Court aren't sure how they'll satisfy federal mandates with the drop in state funding. The Trump administration pushed to open the Tongass National Forest up to road building and resource development. Governor Dunleavy and Alaska's congressional delegation backed it, though it drew a lot of opposition from regional environmental, tribal, and tourism interests. Here's Lee Hart, founder of the Alaska Outdoor Alliance.
People aren't coming to Alaska to see clear-cut forests and mines and pipelines and oil rigs. They're coming to see the magnificent public lands and waters and glaciers and wildlife that we have here.
At least 220,000 people have formally weighed in. An early review of 140,000 comments showed most favored keeping restrictions in place. The push drew international press with headlines like "How Trump May Bulldoze America's Amazon" and "Alaskans Fight to Save U.S.'s Largest National Forest." In related news, a timber industry group got federal grant money to weigh in on the rule change. That has raised questions in Congress. Supporters and opponents both say lifting road building restrictions won't restore the timber industry. A final decision from the U.S. Forest Service is expected in 2020. The medical community suffered a major loss when a Juneau-based Guardian Flight air ambulance team bound for Cake never arrived.
In an emotional memorial service at Juneau Douglas High School, speakers remembered pilot Patrick Coyle, flight paramedic Margaret Langston, and flight nurse Stacy Morse, who was pregnant with a daughter, Delta Ray, when the plane disappeared over Frederick Sound on January 29th.
In a preliminary report, federal transportation investigators said there was a loss of control on approach to the airport in Cake. Other notable headlines from 2019, Core Alaska announced plans for a major expansion of its Kensington gold mine. A January count of Juneau's homeless population showed numbers falling for the first time since 2016. And Juneau Housing First got grants for an expansion, but other soup and shelter services were shaken up. The Glory Hall cut breakfast amid budget cuts and worked on plans to move to a new location. The building that housed a downtown cold weather shelter was demolished. St. Vincent de Paul now provides a service in the Mendenhall Valley. Oh, and the Lumberman, the derelict tugboat in Gastineau Channel, still floating, briefly spotted with Christmas lights. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.